Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Welcome back, folks. The NOPD recently announced the adoption of new executive protection policies and protocols. Ronald Surpass, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola and a former NOPD chief, joins us to talk about it. Ronald, welcome to the show.
Hello, Newell. How are you?
So, doing well, Ronnie. How you been? Back to school, teaching class? What are you doing these days?
You know, teaching, consulting, living the good life. But no, it's been really good. I hope all's well for you, too.
Same. Things are going well.
Well, remember, Newell, you can't be a profit. You know, the deal with consulting, we're all over the country. Thank goodness we have some good work. But, you know, you can't be a prophet in your own town. So sometimes you got to go someplace else and you can give some good advice, maybe.
Absolutely. Sometimes that reputation doesn't travel afar, does it?
No. You get the good and the bad. The good and the bad.
So, Ronnie, this is something that a lot of folks have been waiting for. I guess you and I would scratch our heads and say, "Why is it taking so long?" But it's finally here.
I'm sorry.
But it is finally.
Funny that you said the obvious.
But it's finally here. What would we expect to find in this? Because I'm not sure that they've revealed a lot of what is going on with this this policy or protocol.
Well, first off, given the truth that I've not read the entire report done by the law firm, I skimmed through it enough to know this. Overwhelmingly, the things that they found that VAPI did were already existing policy violations. So sometimes leaders are forced to suggest that they're going to have a whole new policy to deal with something, when in fact, all the policies by and large existed. It's just a breakdown in supervision. So at the end of the report done by the attorney, which is a very good report, it's incredibly long, they point out some pretty clear things. Make it clear the mayor is not a chain of command authority within the police department, if that's what you want. You know, clear up a few things about, well, here's one that'll throw you out your chair. You're not supposed to claim hours worked when you're at your kid's game, or you're not supposed to claim hours worked when you're at home and your cohort is having a dinner at the tableau with the principal. Look, Newell, at the end of the day, it's always been a policy violation to be involved in events that can question your ethics and character. It's always been a policy violation to drink on duty with a gun. It's always been a policy violation to lie about the hours you work. It's always been a policy violation to lie. So some of this is interesting on the edges, but at the core, all the things that were the essential questions of misconduct by VAPI were already in policy. They just weren't being managed.
So, but that's always, you know, the challenge, right? When you have leaders within an organization that decide the policy is in place for everyone else, and because I'm a leader, I get to deviate from the policy and do things my way. What are your observations? I'm sure you may have even consulted about this issue. How do you resolve that? I mean, is there a third party that should have control that doesn't fall within the chain of command of either the NOPD or the mayor, or internal audit of their policies and procedures on an annual or biannual basis?
Well, I'm sorry. I thought this more than 10-year consent decree paying hundreds of, you know, tens of millions of dollars to the monitors was supposed to be doing this.
You were wrong.
I was. You know, this continues to strike at the very heart of what the consent decree was about. If we go back to 2010 and 11, when we negotiated the consent decree, the issue at a 10,000-foot level was favoritism associated with promotions, favoritism associated with duty assignments, favoritism associated with discipline, favoritism associated with the conduct of the police department. Here we are more than 10 years later, $50, $60 million in the hole, and I don't know how Judge Morgan cannot see, obviously, that those things are still existing. A crisis with the promotion process, a crisis with the VAPI investigation, these speak to the very core issues that the consent decree was supposed to fix. Not do you have a policy that checks a box, not that you have a policy that you read every now and then for accuracy. what in the culture continues to create these crises? And that doesn't appear to have worked incredibly well in all areas. In some areas, I know it's worked. But, you know, these are the kind of questions that I'm sure the judge has to ask herself when people are saying, hey, it's time to get out. Well, that was $60 million spent to not stop VAPI. That was $60 million spent not to stop this issue with the promotion exam that is freezing the careers of majors, captains, lieutenants, sergeants, and officers who are all waiting for promotions. I'm not casting blame on anybody, but how can we be here now when the civil service position, the civil service department has been producing promotional exams for as long as it's been in place? And guess what, Newell? Hold on to your pen. There's always going to be people who are upset with the findings of the test. There's, not everybody's happy. Oh, sure. There's always going to be issues.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's interesting to me. You talked about, you know, friends and this and that. And then when you don't do that, they say it's bias. So when you actually hold a disciplinary record against someone and you score like zero, maybe on moral compass, an individual that admitted to payroll fraud, and all of a sudden there's bias. Excuse me? I mean, what does this mean?
Again, I'm just going to ask, how many millions of dollars were not spent on streets, schools, sidewalks, and lighting to pay for monitors who were supposed to be checking on all this for the last 11 years? These are fundamental flaws in thinking, right? These are fundamental flaws in thinking about how to discipline and hold account a police department to policy. This speaks much bigger than whether or not use of force was investigated properly. It seems like they're doing that. This is a bigger issue.
Yeah, because this is really all about the credibility, right? I mean, of your leadership, of governance, how this is going to work. I mean, accountability. I mean, one of the first questions I ask is, like, who makes a decision to deviate from these executive protection protocols? Is that the mayor? Does it require documentation in order to set up an audit trail so that maybe a one-off situation that's unique in nature doesn't become, you know, the standard?
Well, it's interesting you put it that way because I was blessed, right? I was appointed by a governor. There's only 50 of them. I was appointed by three different elected mayors. What a coincidence. Not a single one of them had any of these kinds of problems. Is that biased?
Yeah.
Not a single one of them. Not even near. Not even close. I mean, you remember when the young man was running around New Orleans killing people and he threatened Mitch directly?
Mm-hmm.
There was, and Leon directly? There was no conversation about how we were going to provide protection. They were happy to have the protection, and we had a duty to provide them the protection. We didn't negotiate on how the protection was going to be provided. We certainly didn't say, let's stop by the Tableau and have a drink and think about it. It's look, there are so many men and women in the police department doing all the right things at all the right ranks. But something is going in a direction that would not give confidence that the fundamental questions of accountability have been solved 10 plus years later, $50, $60 million later, with a consent decree.
Yeah, I mean, how do you leave lurking? And this is one of the things that irritated me, is that we have an allegation now that the deputy chiefs that were engaged in this, I guess, the subjective component of looking at the disciplinary record and interview, whatever, that they engaged in bias. And you just leave that hanging. What does that say about the leadership of the organization? I don't understand. I don't think they understand what it is that they were actually alleging and what it meant to those. I mean, I know if you were on that committee, I know if I were on that committee, I'd be screaming from the high heavens. You know, what are you talking about? Don't throw that out. Give me an example. Give me some data. Give me something where you say I'm wrong in my assessment of a particular individual. Prove it to me. But don't throw that out and ruin my career and saying that I'm engaged in bias, which is an intentional act, right?
Well, exactly. And you know, here's the funny thing. I could be corrected, and I'll say it because I don't think I'm going to be corrected. But when we negotiated the consent decree, the concern about this kind of chicanery in the promotion process meant that we followed the civil service rule only, that the civil service department created an exam, that they had outside external experts grade the exam, which they did this time, and it was the list, done. why was it, and I don't know when it happened, when is it that they put into the consent decree an agreement to have these panels that would naturally be accused of bias because now you have a third component that had not been in there before? Even when we were a backwards police department, in my time and Rich's time, you know, we never had a supplemental agreement to have another level of grading beyond what civil service did. Maybe there's a good reason and I don't know it, but on the outside, why would you create a third level of review? Civil service creates the test. They hired external experts who do this all over the country every day. Mm-hmm. And they had external police leaders of rank equal or higher who came and graded the test based on the experts' witness, based on the experts' agreements. And then why would we have another layer on top of that that goes right back to the 2011 problem of y'all are taking care of your friends? These young men and women who were supervisors in this process were destined to be accused of biasness. They were going to be accused of biasness from the very beginning.
Oh, absolutely. So, that goes with everyone. It's why you may have participated. I've refused to participate. I've been invited to be on assessment teams, who knows how many dozens of times. Don't want it. There's no upside.
Yeah. You know, I've done it, and when I've done it, it gave me an insight to how professional these professionals are. And when I was in Nashville, I hired the firm that was quoted in a Supreme Court decision on these kinds of ideas, I think 20-something times. It can be done correctly. But, you know, the chief is going to always need to have some room at their level to say, I get this list, and I'm sure as sheriff you would agree, you can test for sergeant, you can test for lieutenant, and even test for captain. But at some point, when you get to the deputy chief or major level, you got to be looking at people in a holistic way as the chief and only the chief.
Oh,
this
absolutely.
Is the decision I am making. And these because are civil service appointments. They're forever.
Yeah, those are the individuals that are going to execute on the policies that I put in place, the strategies that I put in place, the protocols that I put in place. They cannot be naysayers, and they can't be really, truly, totally independent of me if I'm going to succeed.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that relationship. It's in every Fortune. You know, they always say police should be like a business. Okay. How many CEOs are forced to hire people they don't want?
Right.
Yeah. I can't think of any.
At that first level. I mean, that's kind of the issue that went on in this presidential election, because they thought maybe the level below the cabinet member, level ought to be appointed as well. Said, yeah. I mean, because that's the one that's going to execute everything, right? It's like, and if they're not on board with you.
The people who opine about this in the media, who have less support than Congress now, as trusting, they talk about stuff they've never done.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't begrudge them their careers, but police are way above a level of trust and confidence in the U.S. Congress. The mainstream media is below the Congress and trust and confidence, according to Gallup, for the first time probably in history. So at the end of the day, people who make decisions ought to be thinking about how people are making decisions, not people who are opining about what they read. Like,
Remember
Theodore Roosevelt? Get in the arena for a few minutes and suffer this blood, sweat, and tears, and then we can have a far better conversation as opposed to, I heard you should have done this.
Right.
And that's why, look, there's only one superintendent at a time. Chief Kirkpatrick's got a ton of things that she's dealing with. But I think this notion that what was supposed to be done in the consent decree 11 years ago is still out there if you think about VAPI, if you think about some of these questions, and that's something she has to confront no different than you and I would have to confront.
No doubt, absolutely. And I know exactly what course of action I would take, and I think I have a pretty good idea which one you would take as well. As always,
well,
Ronald Serpas.
The public would have already known what we were going to do.
There's no doubt about that. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time, your insight. Have a great week, my friend.
Talk soon. Bye.
All right. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.